whenever you move house, it's an opportunity to clean as well as a big job to pack. As the Penguin Random House merger advances, the physical move may prove to be far easier than the digital transition. Welcome, everyone, to Copyright Clearance and his podcast series. I'm Chris Keneally, your host for Beyond the Book. And joining me in the press room at Digital Book World in New York's Hilton Hotel is Andrew Albany, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, for a look at the latest news in publishing. Andrew, good to see you.
Hey, Chris. Nice to see you as well.
It's good to do it in person. We've both been attending Digital Book World. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the change that is coming in 2013 is that the Big Six is about to lose a member and go down to the Big Five. PW is looking at the pending merger between Random and Penguin this week.
That's right. In Monday's issue, we're going to have a long feature on just what it's going to take to make this merger between the industry's two largest players actually come together. And when I say come together, I don't mean, you know, coming through the government approval process. I mean how these companies are actually going to fit together. So, you know, we looked at everything from organization charts to back office operations. And, you know, no shocker, this is going to be one heck of a job. Now, it isn't like we don't know how these movies end. You know, we've seen our share of big deals and mergers in the past. And so we know there's going to be some overlap between imprints and departments and systems and operations and warehousing and all these things that are going to have to be figured out. And while we're not going to speculate exactly on jobs or imprint consolidations or anything like that, we are going to try to sketch out the lines a little bit for what this new company is going to have to look like. And it's pretty eye-opening stuff. You know, one quick observation I'll make, you know, what's really notable to me about this merger is that it's happening in the digital age, right in the teeth of the digital age. You know, the most recent big deals we've had in the publishing industry, you know, Hachette picking off Warner and Penguin and Putnam merging and Random House and BDD, all those deals were done in a totally different era. What makes this merger so interesting, aside from its scale, is that it's, you know, facing toward an ebook future that is just rapidly expanding. I mean, they've got the whole thing unfurling in front of them. So in that sense, you know, the past deals are not necessarily good markers for how this one is going to play out.
Right. You're right. I mean, this is the digital age and we are a digital book world, and change is part of digital, part entirely of the digital environment. I have a few impressions of the conference myself, but let me ask you about yours.
Well, the digital conference season is upon us. And I'm always fascinated by the topics and the discussions here at DBW. So I've had a good couple of days. And of course, it's always good to see people face to face, you included, Chris. And in Monday's issue, we're going to have a deeper wrap up of the digital book world. And we're going to have a look behind, you know, a lot of the numbers and new ideas and new companies and projects that were thrown around here. So for more of those impressions, you can check out our digital book world wrap up in Monday's news. But I will say that I also really enjoy participating in the copyright seminar that you guys, Copyright Clearance Center, hosted on Tuesday with Trident's Robert Gottlieb and Wiley's Chris Kleeman, among others. And I thought we had a pretty robust exchange.
Oh, indeed we did. And our listeners will be able to listen to that entire panel discussion in the regular podcast coming on Monday. So it will feature, as you mentioned, Chris Kleeman from Wiley and Robert Gottlieb and yourself. But back to Digital Book World for just a second. We'll talk about copyright in a moment. My own impression about this is that for the last couple of years, Digital Book World has been about the future. And this year, it's about the present. And that strikes me as a really radical moment. I mean, the digital book world today isn't something we can look forward to. It's here and we have to reckon with. And like anything to do with reality, it's a mixed bag.
That's absolutely true. You know, I think I liked it more when it was about the future. It certainly made for writing more fun copy. It's a little easier to write stories about these great forward-looking ideas. And now we're actually dealing with the nuts and bolts of putting this all together and making it work in the present. So, I mean, my only question is when we're just going to drop Digital Book World altogether and just make it Book World, and it's all going to be digital anyway. We're just, you know, when we're going to take the E off of ebook and they're just going to be books again. I look forward to that moment.
Indeed. Well, and you mentioned our copyright session with Robert Gottlieb, and there's a man who is a friend of copyright through and through. He would defend it with his last breath, and for that we can only say, you know, terrific for you, Mr. Gottlieb. But you had a bit of a disagreement with him in the panel, a lively one, a friendly one. Tell us about it, and what do you think the issue is?
Well, I think it was a really good exchange. You know, certainly one of the audience members had noted the tension between us, but it wasn't tense in terms of there was, you know, a tenseness between us. But I think Robert and I fundamentally agree that we want creators to be paid for their work. And I truly do admire Robert Gottlieb because he's a fine agent. And I would expect nothing less than him pushing for every nickel to be wrung out of every page for the authors he represents. However, we did seem to disagree a bit about the best way to run a culture and what copyright, the role of copyright, is intended to serve in a culture. To me, it's a much more nuanced balance between the public and the creator, as I expect it was among the people who created copyright. It's a right that's wholly enacted and calibrated by government. And I don't think it is, as you know, Robert said, like a piece of land. It's a business deal. In any business deal, you try to make the most that you can, but there are certain things that you have to negotiate and compromise on. But what I found truly heartening about that whole day was it was really a packed room full of people who were very engaged and intent on paying attention to these copyright issues. And that's a really good thing.
Well, indeed. I mean, I think attention to copyright must be paid, to quote a line from theater. And it is, I think, for Copyright Clearance Center, important to be engaged in helping to educate people and to see things from all the different viewpoints. Again, if our listeners want to get an idea of what was discussed, they can join us online starting on Monday in our regular podcast series, so do look for that. Also on the copyright site, we have an e-book out on the long-running Google Books litigation from Jeff Roberts at GigaOM and Paid Content, and you have an interview with Jeff.
Yeah, you know things are starting to wind down with litigation when the books start coming out. And Jeff Roberts, who's a reporter for, as you said, Paid Content and GigaOM, has written an ebook about the Google litigation. And so I sat down with him, and you can read all about our exchange in Monday's issue. And I found that he had some really interesting observations about some of the key players, like Judge Denny Chin and Harvard University librarian Robert Darnton, for example. And I was also fascinated by the larger theme in his book about how Google scanning sort of signals a shift in the literary world from its staid old East Coast roots to the more technocratic West Coast Silicon Valley. That's a fault line worth exploring, I think, and we had a good talk. It was really fun to compare notes with another reporter who's been covering this for quite some time, and you can read all about it in Monday's issue.
Well, I think that's interesting, that notion of the shift from East Coast to West Coast, from Manhattan to Silicon Valley. Each side of the country approaches things in an entirely different way, and technologists, I think, are thinking about solving problems, and they really couldn't care less about the business models to start.
That's right. Jeff had a really good line in the interview. He noted that China was run by engineers, and it's not necessarily a great place to be a writer or an artist. There's sort of a cold side of technocracy, or I don't know what you would call it, a technocratic society that has not existed in the liberal East Coast publishing world. And I think that's a pretty good thing to point out.
Well, we'll look forward to reading that. Jeff's a sharp guy and a lawyer by training, so he certainly understands the legal issues as well as the publishing issues. Finally, you have a rather eye-opening report from new columnist Brian Kenny on what libraries are buying. That's coming out just ahead of the upcoming ALA meeting that will take you to Seattle next week.
That's right. This is Brian's second column for us under our new arrangement. The column is called the P&L Sheet. Think publishers and libraries more than profits and losses. And this week, Brian is going to take a look at what libraries are buying and how. Now, Brian is the director of the White Plains Public Library in his day job. He's also a former editor-in-chief and editorial director at Library Journal, and also for PW for a spell. And I've known Brian for some time. We've worked together for almost a decade. And he pulls no punches. And I have to say I was a little scary to read this column, and scary in the sense that it shows how reference and nonfiction budgets at a lot of libraries are being slashed to buy more popular fiction and to kind of serve up the books that patrons want and to keep them coming in and happy. But you can't also talk about what libraries are purchasing without talking about the ebook situation and digital. And one of the things he notes is that librarians are really looking to get into more streaming services. There's a new service coming out from Midwest Tapes called Hoopla, and librarians are very interested in that. And we could soon see more and more library dollars shifted away from books and towards media. After all, patrons really love streaming media. I know I use streaming media at home all the time, whether it's Netflix or Amazon. And, libraries are having a hard time buying ebooks these days, so they just might as well spend their dollars on things that they can get and that their patrons want. Now, what scares me about that is that for centuries, libraries have been devoted to books and to reading. But now that they're being iced out of digital reading, that really could all change, you know, and within a generation. In any case, it's a great column. It's filled with, you know, lots of anecdotal evidence that he spoke with other librarians and from Brian's own practices at White Plains. And you can read all about how libraries are buying and what they're buying in Monday's issue from Brian Kenny, author of The P&L Sheet.
And we'll look forward to hearing from you and your impressions from ALA when they come in next week. So Andrew Albanese here in New York City at the Digital Book World Conference. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as now images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.